Today on Seculo, President Biden says he hasn't had time to visit the border as the crisis breaks a major, major record. We'll talk about the new surge coming towards our border today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Thousands of migrants in a brand new caravan literally just forcing their way through a Mexican roadblock with Mexican National Guard and security forces. They literally just, like a hot knife through butter, just push right through those soldiers and those police forces, and it wasn't much of a roadblock at all.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
Thousands of them being led by an activist who essentially says that the Biden administration's policies are kind of like a cattle call to these migrants, enticing them to come to the border. So they are starting their march. They're going to do so.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
There have been more than 1.7 million, quote, encounters at the southern border in fiscal year 2021. Remember, it is it's not yet November, marking the highest number for a fiscal year on record. Let's go through those years just so you understand how high this record is. 2018, 500,000. It was 521,000 encounters. Fiscal year 2019 jumped up a bit to 977,000. So again, a surge there. Then in 2020, down to 458,000. All these numbers, including the 2019 where it got close to a million, surpassed greatly by just this year's contacts. These are people the Border Patrol actually had some dealings with. These are not people who crossed illegally undetected. So we don't have that number. What we have is the number of encounters. 1.7 million. 1.7 million encounters. If you go back to 2019, and you look at a number that's close to a million. And this is when the Trump administration was dealing with a crisis, wasn't afraid to call it a crisis, was wanting to build the wall, finish the wall, to make deals with the Remain in Mexico policy, Operation Talon to track the traffickers of children, of women, of migrants, to prevent modern day, whether it is sex trafficking, human slavery, the list goes on, indentured servitude. So those programs were all removed. Remain in Mexico was removed, even though that was a diplomatic solution worked out by the Trump administration. And you have, 1.7. It's almost a million more people. It's 800,000 more people than Border Patrol's had to deal with in the last 5 years. And this is, those last 4 years, it wasn't like there wasn't issues at the border. The Trump administration was tackling those issues, working on deals to keep these numbers lower, to settle things down, not to encourage people to make the dangerous trip with these coyotes and human traffickers. But again, I want you to understand that it is the highest number of illegal border crossings and contacts ever reported in a year. The highest number. And yet, take a listen. Joe Biden, that CNN town hall, is asked about, heading to the border, spending more time on this issue. Take a listen.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world.
He's traveling around the world. He's oftentimes, by the way, a lot of that flood damage is not too far away from the southern border. I mean, if you're going to make a trip down to Louisiana or Mississippi or Alabama, Florida, for that, and you were looking at hurricane damage, I mean, it's not like you couldn't do multiple things. Well, you're the president of the United States. Mobility is, and your ability to travel is unrestricted. And so this idea that, well, I just don't have time to go, when it's the highest number ever, and not just by a little, not by like 100,000, but by 800,000 people, you make time. This is like those disasters he's talking about. This is a humanitarian disaster at our border. We want to hear from you. How serious is this issue to you? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. No wrong answers, just how important.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Not only does President Biden, he doesn't have time. He could go all around the country talking about, you know, an economic stimulus and this infrastructure, and it's very confusing. So, hey, I'll get a good audience for it. School kids, because they're going to go home and say, yes, Mom and Dad, we want infrastructure. But it's the same, you know, there was another gaffe at that event, or if you want to call it that anymore. But I want you to understand, in that CNN town hall, not only did he say he doesn't have time to visit now, he definitively said he's been there before. Now, he's been a U.S. senator for God, as long as I've been alive. He's been elected office and running for president. I think most of the time I also have been alive. I can't remember his first campaign for president. I do remember his second because I was working out in Iowa for George W. Bush. We were just doing some caucus events. He was on a reelect campaign. I think he finished last. But ultimately, you know, so you would think over all that time, okay, maybe there's a photo op that he did or visited with the Customs and Border Patrol as senator, as vice president, as that time period between running for office again and running for president, that maybe you would have this photo. No, that's not how he visited the border. Take a listen about how Joe Biden, the president of the United States, today, with the new numbers out, we know, has the highest number of encounters. And that number, it's 800,000 more than we've ever seen in a fiscal year. 1.7 million encounters in 2021. The highest number in current history. You have to go back to 2019. It doesn't even touch a million. So it was a lot of people, 900,000 people. But that's a lot difference than putting a one in front of that 900,000, which is almost what you can do in the current situation. But take a listen, because as you might have heard him say definitively, yeah, I've been there, done that. Well, not exactly. Bite three.
Why did President Biden say he has been to the border?
Well, Peter, as you may have seen, there's been reporting that he did drive through the border when he was on the campaign trail in 2008, and he is certainly familiar with the fact, and it stuck with him, with the fact that in El Paso, the border goes right through the center of town.
You know, so that's the thing. The border goes through the center of town. I mean, here he was driving through El Paso, and sometime in 2008, they don't have the date exactly, but I mean, I think you can go back and figure it out. And now people are wondering, did he actually even see it, the way they drew, the route that they took? Because she was just kind of generally referencing, well, if you're in El Paso, you know, you can see the border there. I mean, I don't know if he saw it from 100 yards away, 200 yards away. But what she isn't trying to claim is that he ever got out of the car.
Absolutely not. And so what we have is this possibility that Joe Biden, not as Vice President Biden, not as President Biden, drove through El Paso, Texas, searching for a takeaway taco stand. That is essentially his involvement with the border.
I mean, listen, you can't make this up, right? They are the ones telling us, okay, fine, you know, Peter Ducey, you've been asking. Thad, you've seen, you know, every day in that briefing he asked about visiting the border. He talks about Harris, you know, with that, or when Biden will visit. And they finally came up with an answer for him. And I'm thinking about, like, the White House staff there. And, you know, I've worked a lot with the communications team at White House and dealing with difficult questions that are going to come. And we were working with them during Mueller, during serious things, impeachments. This I guess they've been spinning around. Okay, what's a new answer we can give to the Fox News guys? And then it's like the worst Washington answer of all time, especially for a guy who's been in political office since most of us, can remember. I won't say since all of us have been born, but I mean almost. And that's his career. And the fact that he doesn't have the picture there, can't even reference it. And even if it was true, Thad, it's such typical Washington to think that, like, well, 2008, 2022, that's a pretty big chunk of time. There's been a lot of changes in our country since 2008. But yet this was the best answer that his team could come up with.
Jordan, it's worse than just saying I haven't ever been there. I mean, honestly, it is, because it's so easy to poke holes in. As you point out, the facts on the ground, the evidence, the problem at the border has changed dramatically from that time. Jordan, he's president right now. We need solutions from him right now to address this record high surge. And, you know, I find it interesting. We talk a lot about the ministry of presence. Sometimes you do just have to show up to make a difference in a problem. But I'll tell you this, Jordan, I think, you know, leadership starts at the top and it trickles down through an administration. There are a lot of people at various levels of this administration that have the fiduciary duty to address this problem right now. And I would go first to the vice president. She's the border czar, right? Jordan, it makes a lot more sense to me now why she is not traveling down there, because the leadership from the top that she sees embodied by the president of the United States says that you don't have to go to the source of the problem to address it. So it makes a whole lot more sense on that level right now to me, Jordan.
Yeah, I get the sense that, like what you're talking about, you can talk about what are the problems of the other countries leading to these mass migrations. I don't think that that's a problem. But what about being with our Border Patrol, being with our ICE officials, being with the people who are on the ground? Like Thad said, the Ministry of Presence, the idea that you've got their back as president, which has not been the case in this administration, which is why I don't think they want to go, because I don't think they do have the back of the Border Patrol agents. They will take any opportunity of a bad photo that isn't explained well to throw them under the bus, call them racist, use all these kind of terms about them. They're just down there trying to do a job that's impossible because there's an invasion of people. I mean, when you talk about 1.7 million people over a fiscal year, and you've gotten rid of Remain in Mexico, you've got rid of Operation Talon, you stop building the border wall. That is, to me, and it's an invasion, and yet the forces on the ground there that are dealing with this on our domestic side, on our border, that doesn't feel like the president's got their back, and he won't even show up just to at least indicate that he understands the how difficult of a situation they're dealing with.
Look, you can't understand a problem unless you go there and see it yourself. We're not asking him to go to New Zealand or Australia. We're not asking him to go to Outer Mongolia. We're asking him to get on Air Force One and to fly an hour and a half for 2 hours to the southern border and spend some time there with the Border Patrol agents. And I don't mean in El Paso, and I'm going to steal a phrase from my colleague Harry Hutchison. This has become a drive-by presidency. That's all he is. He's looking for taco stands, and that was 13 years ago. Things have changed substantially in 13 years. The numbers you gave, Jordan, for the fiscal years in 2018, 2019, 20, and 2021 show the immense surge in migrants that are coming across and encounters that we are having. You don't think that that has changed in 13 years? He was there 13 years ago. Rather, now he would take a bicycle ride in New Delaware, where he's from, rather than go to the border and give a hand to have firsthand encounter with the border agents and to see what the situation is. I mean, in Del Rio, I mean, in parts of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona that are on the front line in this massive invasion. He needs to do that.
We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. The question I'm posing is how serious of a problem you believe this is for the country. You know, whether you're in a border state, I think you're seeing it differently. But now we're starting to see that these groups, you know, the middle of the night, they've got planes landing in Westchester, New York. You know, wonder why? Why is it at 4 a.m. that you're flying the migrants in? Why try to do everything like in secret or make it look like you're trying to do things in secret? I want to go to the phones. I'm going to take a Vincent's call first out of Los Angeles. On line three. Hey, Vincent, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, first of all. And I'm just kind of disappointed in your narrative, right? I know what I'm talking about. I've been working with these families in Tijuana border for the past 3 years. I work with a nonprofit over there called Yes We Can World Foundation, where they actually put these migrants in schools. They've got a school now in Tijuana. They've got a school in Mexicali, and they have another one in Juarez. So,
did we drop Vincent? Did Vincent drop? It looks like he dropped. I don't really know what he was complaining about. He was talking about schools in Mexico. That sounds like remained in Mexico to me. He might think that some of those programs are still existing through nonprofits. But I want to make clear, our government was running these programs on a massive scale under the Trump administration. So they have, of course, many more resources than nonprofits. I'm glad those nonprofits are doing the work that they're doing, especially if they're helping these families remain where they're from because they don't have good asylum claims to make. So if they want to immigrate, they've got to, you know, go through that process. But let me, when we come back, here's where I think the problem is and where, you know, you can have people disagree with what we're saying. We're just talking numbers. We're literally using Joe Biden's own words. We're using his press secretary's own words. You can't argue with that. So when he was with a group of kids yesterday, you know, Donald Trump got all this, you know, he's nasty to the media. He took all their questions, including the media he didn't like. He would take their questions ultimately. He would answer them. You know, people, he didn't treat us with enough respect. But he did answer their questions. I don't think there was another president who was more accessible to the media, various outlets, from mainstream to conservative, to even those on the, you know, some on the left. This president, you won't believe what he told a group of school kids yesterday, when I guess he was talking about pre-K education, things like that, but he tried to give them a lesson, I guess, how to be a politician and not answer questions. We'll talk about that. We come back on Seculo. Remember, we've got a petition up to secure our border, stop this humanitarian crisis at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Back to Secular. I want you to listen to this one. We're going to get to your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So yesterday, President Biden, he's with a group of school kids, and he's talking to the kids, and the press is in the room. Take a listen to Bite 24.
You know, when you're president, see all these people here? They're with you all the time. They get to ask you all kinds of questions, and you try to figure out how you can avoid answering them sometimes.
I mean, listen, that's the top of his list. The top of his mind to tell a group of school kids is learn how to avoid answering the media's questions. One is, I mean, you know, for most of those kids and most people, that's not something that they have to, you know, it's not like a work skill they have to be professional in. But Than in Washington, I mean, I think he's telling the truth. I just think that the fact that he tells it so bluntly and that the American people aren't more concerned when they hear him basically say, what our main goal is to not talk to the press. I mean, in general, he didn't just say like those guys like Fox News or the conservative outlets, the entire press. I mean, why is the press corps not rising up? I know why. I mean, I know that sometimes they get a little more picky with this administration, but for most part, they give them a complete pass, especially the president.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think there's another portion of this problem that he can talk about, though, Jordan. I mean, I think it's a terrible answer to the question, but what if he were to go to the numbers that we're talking about today and just try to explain why they've exploded? I mean, you talked about the numbers from 2019 to 2020. Why did those get cut in half, Jordan? It was because the policies that were put in place by the last administration had a real impact, things like Operation Talon, things like the migrant protection protocols. And, Jordan, I just wanted to tack back to the caller you took in the last segment. Look, people have been coming to the United States for opportunity for more than 200 years. It's part of what makes our country great, and that's a good thing. But Jordan, the way we provide opportunity to those people is to make sure that the process is not abused so that all of our resources don't flow to the people who are trying to enter illegally, and those resources can be used to help people who are trying to come the right way. But then, Jordan, if the president were to engage on a substantive issue like that, then he would have to answer the question, well, okay, you got to cut in 50% of the number of encounters from 2019 to 2020. Why did that number go up by four times the very next year? And Jordan, it's because all of those policies were rescinded on day one. And look, I think you can distill it down to something as simple as this. If you communicate that your border is open and porous, and there's a good chance that if you come to the border illegally, you will end up being allowed to stay, guess what's going to happen? Those people are going to come, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a Fox News headline. Allie just said it. I mean, Fox News headline, migrant caravan containing thousands travel through Mexico towards U.S. border. By the way, it's got a mixture of different Central Americans, South Americans, as well as Haitians. Quote, tell Biden we are coming. I mean, it's the brazenness, Andy, the idea that they still feel like, you know what, this is the right move to make. We're going to overwhelm them. If we got 1.7 million, if we go up to 2 million, next. I mean, the whole thing is just, they're not afraid.
No, they're not afraid. They have absolutely no apprehension. With President Trump, they had respect. They feared him, and fear, I think, sometimes is better than respect. I'd rather be feared than respected, quite frankly, as President of the United States. But they would never have made that statement to Donald Trump, tell President Trump we are coming, because he would not have tolerated that and didn't tolerate that. He had diplomatic policies with Mexico about that. He had a border wall that was being built to prevent that from happening. And let me tell you, historically, walls work. Look at East Jerusalem. Walls work. But with President Biden, they have no apprehension. They brazenly say, we're bearing down on you, like the Visigothic invasions of the 5th century, where we are coming, so what are you going to do about it? And they sort of challenge him, Jordan, about it, and they know that he's not going to do anything about it. Look at this fiscal year figure that you pointed out for 2021. 1,734,686 Southwest border encounters, and more coming, folks. More coming, Jordan, and they have no apprehension and no fear whatsoever of telling the President of the United States that to his face. Why? Because he won't do anything about it. He's busy telling school children, basically, how to avoid answering questions. You know, you're an impressionable little kid, and you're sitting there, and he says, you see these reporters around me? I try to figure out how not to answer a question. You try to figure out how you can avoid answering them sometimes. How can you say that to a school children? That's like telling them when your teacher asks you a question, figure out a way to avoid answering.
Avoid the answer. This migrant caravan, too, that's being organized, if you think that these are just ragtag groups, they're using QR codes to organize their caravan, which means people have smartphones, and they're accessing this, and that's how they're organizing. This is sophisticated. It might not look that way by the time they get to the border and they've been through a terrible journey, but to start the journey is done by these traffickers using technology, using high tech. So let me go to the phones. Let's go to Marissa in Washington State on line 5. Hey, Marissa. Hey, Marissa, you're on the air. All right, looks like Marissa might not be there anymore. We'll check. Let's go to Joe in Wisconsin on line 1. Hey, Joe. Okay, do we have a volume issue, guys? Are we not? All right, we'll check in with our phones. A lot of phone calls. I don't want to drop those, and we'd certainly want to take those. Let me play this, though, because then Jen Psaki went a step further, saying, well, he doesn't really need to go. Here's why he said, Bite 19.
The most important thing, he does not need a visit to the border to know what a mess was left by the last administration. That's his view.
Okay, the last administration was dealing with the crisis. We had Remain in Mexico. We had Operation Talon go after the traffickers. We had diplomatic arrangements set up with Central American countries as well that incentivized them to stop these migrant caravans from forming and from moving through country to country to country. So this idea that it was a mess left by the previous administration, let's go through the numbers. Just look at the numbers. In 2020, it was down to 458,000. In 2019, 977,000. 2018, 500,000. Under Biden, it's 1.7 million in his first full year. 1.7 million. So what mess was left? It looked like, when you see these images of these people, and they're showing on Fox right now, it's just a mass amount of people. You think about 1.7 million in total. But the idea, Than, it was a mess. The Trump administration acknowledged when they came into office, it is a mess. We're going to do something about it. We're going to be creative, not just the wall, but we're also going to make these deals. That people are going to stay in Mexico, as with like the vaccine warp speed and things like that, where he was mocked by the media saying, no way, you can get that done that quickly. Same thing with the Remain in Mexico policy. Than, it was no way you'll ever get a deal with Mexico, and yet President Trump did. So the mess they're talking about has been created by not following the Trump strategies.
Jordan, the policies were working. I mean, the numbers clearly paint the picture. And look, I would say the reason there was an uptick in numbers in 2019 is because the efforts to build the wall were so viscerally opposed in Washington, D.C. And in some ways, that signal was being sent. What did the Trump administration do, Jordan? They pivoted to the migrant protection protocols and said, okay, if we can't get this all the way done, we're going to handle the problem another way. Jordan, clearly it worked. I mean, the numbers cut in half. You can't make another explanation for why the numbers cut in half.
Second half hour coming up. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Has your town, has your community dealt with this new influx of people that are just being dropped off in the middle of the night? The seriousness of this crisis. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We want you to tell your story.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You know, I got to play this by for you. We're going to get to your phone calls, too. And we are figuring out the issue with the phones. We figured that out. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. But let me play this. So this is Jen Psaki again. Trying to re-explain, you know, this I think was part of the whole, he's driven through the border 13 years ago. As Harry said, we don't know why. I mean, it could have just been, hey, we got to get some food in El Paso. Got some good, they have Tex-Mex here. But he didn't get out, they didn't even say like he got out of the car or he met with a Border Patrol official, nothing like that. Literally, it's like he drove through. I mean, that doesn't usually count. It's like, again, not getting out of the car, not engaging it. I think what they don't understand is that the question is not he'll solve everything by just visiting. It's that, one, it's symbolism. I've got the back of my federal agents and the federal agencies that are responsible for this. I see the massive problem they are having to deal with and how tough that is. I know things won't be perfect. Sometimes they have to make tough decisions. They're dealing with kids. They're dealing with minors. They're dealing with people who are near death. This is all during a pandemic. They ignore that, of course, during this. That's the only time they ignore that. And yet she goes on. This pretty long, but I want to play it for you because I'm looking through this about his work on the border. Because we said, you know, he's been a senator and vice president. And the name she references, it's like, when was this, in 1981? I mean, literally, and I say that again, say, was I even alive yet? Take a listen.
The most important thing everyone should know and understand is that the president has worked on these issues throughout his entire career and is well-versed in every aspect of our immigration system, including the border. That includes when he was vice president, and he went to Mexico and Central America 10 times to address border issues and talk about what we can do to reduce the number of migrants who are coming to the border. He worked in a bipartisan manner with senators like Ted Kennedy, Harry Reid, John McCain, and others to push for comprehensive immigration reform.
I mean, Thad, two of those are pretty hard left. You know, one is passed away, Ted Kennedy. Senator McCain passed away. He's the one Republican he talks about. If that's as bipartisan it gets, I mean, I'm guessing what year that was is maybe the 90s. That's the best she can do, though. This is his press secretary. I think, you know, she's got a lot. It's not an easy job on either side. You're dealing with a lot of questions, tough questions sometimes, and you're the one having to stand up there. But this is the best her team could put together, is that, you know, he made trips, again, not to the border, but Mexico and Central America. And then on top of that, hey, he worked on bipartisan work with two out of three of the senators we're mentioning are no longer with us, that have passed away. The other longtime retired, Harry Reid. I mean, it's like, really, that's how Joe Biden sees like modern Washington. He's been there so long, and a lot of his team, when they look through his history, his work with like Harry Reid and Ted Kennedy was recent in a career where he's been a lifelong politician. To him, to the American people, that sounds like ancient.
Yeah, I'm going through my mental Rolodex of the United States Senate, Jordan. None of these three are there. None of those three have been there for quite a while. You know, Joe Biden might be the same for the last 40 years, but essentially everybody else has turned over, including these three. Jordan, but look, I mean, maybe this is why he said he hasn't had time to go down to the border because of all of the other crises going on. Look, I don't want to be, you know, mean about it, but this has been a problem, Jordan, since the very early days of his administration. So if this was going to be a priority, sure, he could have worked with those three individuals. There are 100 senators sitting right now that need to address this problem. And by the way, there's a bill they could move. Senator Blackburn has a bill to reinstate statutorily the migrant protection protocols. I would suggest maybe that's where he start, and start with existing sitting members of the United States Senate.
I think it's so important what you said too. It's migrant protection protocols. We're trying to help. We don't want to create humanitarian crisis in tent cities at our border, especially during a pandemic. You'd think under a pandemic, they would be like down there rushing everybody into tents with gloves and PPE. But no, not even a lot of them are not even being tested. We'll be right back on Secular.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Try to go back to the phones and make sure if people are holding on. So we're going to go to first Jose in Wisconsin on line one. Hey, Jose, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to work. So what we'll do is, again, we have Dan on and Rob on. Just tell them, guys, it doesn't look like we can get them on the air today. Looks like we're having an issue there. We'll figure that out for tomorrow. Let's move on. I don't want to get too distracted there. But on this issue specifically, Thayer, there was something I did want to mention before we get back into immigration. And that is the one thing President Biden is going around touting is infrastructure, reconciliation. And there was this news yesterday. Well, Joe Manchin, he signed some agreement in principle. Has that moved any further? I just want to update our listening audience about this because a massive spending bill. We talked about the IRS side of it. Has anything changed?
Yeah, I don't think principally anything has changed, Jordan. I mean, look, this is a continuation of something that we saw a few months ago when Joe Manchin signed some sort of agreement with Leader Schumer about what the framework of this would look like. Apparently, he has made some other agreements behind closed doors. It's a little bit hard to put flesh on this, Jordan, because, you know, all of it is interpreted by different people involved in the negotiations. And President Biden is actually meeting mostly individually with different members of the faction. So he's meeting with Joe Manchin. mentioned. Then he's meeting with Kyrsten Sinema. Then he's meeting with the progressives. And then they all come out and they say something a little bit different. The best we can tell, Jordan, here's where Joe Manchin is at on it. He's saying that he still wants a reconciliation package that is priced at $1.5 trillion. He does have a fairly long list of things that he says he will not support, things like expansion of paid family leave or expansion of Medicare to cover vision or health or some other tangentials. Jordan, he doesn't want the Hyde Amendment to be in there. Now, I will say, I was a little bit concerned that he came out and said, I will support, however, a new tax on unrealized gains. We don't want to go too far down that rabbit trail, Jordan, but that would be a pretty dangerous move from Joe Manchin, because if you're going to tax unrealized gains before you take them, but you're not going to allow write-offs of unrealized losses, Jordan, that's going to really stifle capital investment in our economy. So that was one troubling thing he said. But look, all of that is really noise, Jordan, until Democrats in Washington, D.C. come out from behind closed doors and say, not only do we have an agreement, but here it is. Jordan, until they give it to us, until we can look at the writing and both the progressives and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema say, yes, that's what we're behind, I think this is all a fig leaf, Jordan. So I still think that maybe they can get there, but they can all come out and say whatever they want until they give us a piece of paper with a deal written in legislative form on it. It doesn't mean a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, Harry, to me, the issue, and why I brought up the infrastructure, I wanted to update people on that, because every day they try to put something out like it's coming and they've got more agreement. But what I've seen is that they try to use that issue, this one single issue, as the reason why they're not handling any of the other issues. But we have an entire Department of Homeland Security that focus on the border. We have a military that could have done the Afghanistan withdrawal better. We have a diplomatic force that should have been a lot more prepared for what was going on in Sudan. We talked about that with Rick Grinnell. We talked about these letting the world kind of – we're seeing the influence by Russia, Iran and China and Syria with the Assad regime. But he has a huge government. They can handle all this. It's not like walk and chew gum at the same time. He's got lots of people who are and huge bureaucracies behind it. But they won't tackle these problems. They will not. They've got their line. They're sticking to it.
I think you're absolutely correct. And so what we are now witnessing is the unraveling of an unserious administration. So this particular administration has been absent without leave in Afghanistan. It's been absent without leave at the border. It's been absent without leave with respect to the transportation crisis. We have lots of tankers off the coast of California. They cannot unload. The ports are unavailable. And the transportation secretary of the United States is missing in action. So I think at the end of the day, when Jen Psaki claims that Joe Biden is well-versed in border issues, this statement is an indictment of Joe Biden. After all, the Biden administration has deliberately created a national security and humanitarian crisis at the border. And when called to account, Jen Psaki states that Joe Biden has driven by the border in 2008. And then she doubles down by doing what? Blaming the Trump administration. This is acting like a juvenile. Biden keeps acting like a three-year-old president. And so one of the things that we really need, one of the things that the American people need, is that they need an adult administration in the White House. They need someone who is willing to tackle the crises that are at hand rather than blaming past administrations. Lastly, I would point out, if they keep going down this track, they are going to start blaming the border crisis on Abraham Lincoln.
Well, I mean, it was we inherited from Trump, and then we're a year away from that. I mean, it was a crisis being managed. What managed well? They were the anything that was actually preventing more from being done there was being done by Democrats, who were preventing more funding to the border wall and taking it more seriously. But this is another classic Joe Biden. He talks about He almost says he plans to go down in this fight, but then he shifts to, well, his wife's been there. The first lady has been there. I don't know if she was there as first lady, second lady, or sometime in between. He doesn't give us that, but he does explain what it was like for her to visit the border and some of the pictures he's seen on TV. Biden 11.
I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down. She's been on both sides of the river. She's seen the circumstances there. She's looked into those places. You notice you're not seeing a lot of pictures of kids lying on top of one another with, you know, looks like tarps on top of them.
Well, that's because they had that tent city created. There was so much pressure there. They went in and cleaned it out and then put those people on airplanes. And some of them showed up in Westchester, New York at 4 a.m. last week. I mean, Andy, to me, it's again, he almost says what his staff told him don't say. I plan to go, which would be the right thing to say.
Right.
And then they would have to plan it. But then he puts it on his wife. He puts on, again, someone who's not an elected official. It's right. He puts on the vice president. She's not been to she doesn't have any interest in this issue more than she has to deal with it. So now he's putting it to Jill.
Well, I mean, Kamala Harris has been a disaster as the border czar. She was the one that was supposed to go down to the Northern Triangle, and she comes back and says, well, the problem is we don't have climate resilience, whatever that means, and that's what's causing the problem, climate resilience. So Kamala Harris is no good at any of this stuff. So then he says, Jill Biden, who's his wife, she's been there, and she's been on both sides of the river. I suppose that's the Rio Grande River. And she's looked, and you don't see. And then he jumps from that. So you don't see a lot of kids lying on top of one, you know, with look like tarps on top of them.
Yeah.
Stuttering, and that wasn't me stuttering and bumbling, by the way. I was reading trying to read the transcript. That wasn't me doing that. That was me trying to read what the President of the United States was blunderingly trying to elicit because he can't even talk anymore. But, you know, when you take these people and they're coming into the country illegally, and then you're putting them like Joe Jordan said, Westchester County and so forth, I wonder what it would be like and how they would feel if we relocated some of these migrants to Bangor, Maine, Burlington, Vermont, Cape Cod, put them in Cambridge, Mass, put them in Martha's Vineyard. Let's put them in some cities so they can really feel the pain of what it's like for police protection, okay? From health, for safety, for those reasons. Put them in some of these liberal, left-wing, Democrat, northeastern cities and let's see how they scream and yell then and say, you know, good things about the President of the United States.
Yeah,
I doubt they'll say that then.
No, they completely ignore this issue because it doesn't affect their elite lifestyle. And what we have seen is that from time and time again, and I thought the Westchester move was interesting. That's about as close to home as they've gotten for their world. But they did it at 4 a.m. I mean, you know, and there was a single flight. I don't know if there were more flights than that. But then that's also to me part of this issue is that it's all done in like secret and like shadowy, like 4 a.m. flights that they hope weren't being tracked. Well, Fox News was tracking it. They were there. And all these people just getting dumped off into, you know, New York.
Well, it's because if the people in those communities knew, Jordan, they would be opposed to it. I mean, including the people in his own party. If it happens in your backyard, it becomes a problem. And by the way, with all due respect to Jill Biden, I mean, look, maybe it would help if she would go down to the border and then come back and talk to the president. But Jordan, nobody elected her president of the United States. She does not have a duty to go down there. The president of the United States does have a duty to go down there. He does have a duty to the people who voted, put him in office. He has the duty to provide a solution, not his wife.
She can't make the orders and the directives. I mean, maybe it would be better if she could, but she can't. He's got to do it. He's got to tell the taxes team, and his team doesn't want anything to do with this. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists,
the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Did push back because he said, okay, well, I'll let you take the listen to this, because that answer initially of, well, he drove through in 2008. You know, anybody who's a good reporter, Peter is like, they're not going to just take that and say, okay, well, he visited it. So here's his follow up, bite five.
He said, I've been there before. You're saying he drove by for a few minutes. Does that count?
What is the root cause? Where are people coming from who are coming to the border, Peter?
The president said that
I'm asking you a question because I think people should understand the context. Okay, I'll answer it for you. People come from Central America and Mexico to go to the border. The president has been to those countries 10 times to talk about border issues.
Then it misses the entire point of what we're talking about the whole time. That's part of what you should be doing. Trump administration did that. They got their diplomats down there. They worked on these deals, like Remain in Mexico, like you talked about, the migrant protection protocols. So they did that part of it, too. It's that he will not stand because he doesn't want for his liberal base to see him standing with the CBP agents, with the ICE agents. That's exactly why. It's politics. He doesn't want to be seen as someone who has got the back of our brave Border Patrol agents and ICE agents and everyone who is working down there by the federal government and overwhelmed by this humanitarian crisis.
Yeah, first of all, Jordan, he's not the president of those countries. He's the president of this one. And when there's a crisis on our border, he needs to be present there to address those issues. I agree with you. He needs to get the back of law enforcement. But look, we just play a mental game here. Let's just go along with this theory that Jen Psaki's advancing for a little bit. And let's say that going down to those countries and addressing the root causes of why people come to this country could be solved solely by making those trips. And let's say they went down there and they took care of all those root causes and no more people were coming. Well, guess what, Jordan? You still have the 1.7 million people that were encountered. By the way, never mind the gotaways, never mind the people that they don't know about. Who knows what the true number is over the last year? Maybe it's, you know, twice that. Maybe it's over 3 million. Who knows? Jordan, even if you addressed all the root causes and you kept any more people from trying to make this trip, you still have all of the people that are currently there. And who's responsible for finding a solution for those people already here? It's the president of the United States.
Yeah, and just to continue why they just don't, they try to act like they don't understand. I think that these are smart enough people. I'm not going to demean them to the point where they don't understand the bigger question, but this is how they try to spin it to the whole country. Take a listen to this from Psaki.
There is a focus right now on a photo op. The president does not believe a photo op is the same as solutions.
First of all, those photos would show that he stands with our Border Patrol. It's not just a photo op. That is not what people are saying when he said he should visit. We're saying he should go down there, talk to the Border Patrol agents, understand, Andy, what they're dealing with. Yeah, take a picture with them. Show the country that you've got their back. It doesn't mean that they've got to make tough decisions and everything's going to be perfect, but just like you would do with the military, they're defending our southern border. Show that you've got their back. It's not just a random photo op as they want to play it.
Jordan, what you said really resounds with me anyway. and that is he doesn't want his liberal base, his leftist base, to see him standing with law enforcement. He doesn't want them to see that. He doesn't want to see his liberal base looking at him standing there with a border or a customs or an immigration agent facing someone trying to come over the wall or having to deal with children being left in baskets somewhere or seeing them carry stuff across rivers and the border patrol having to take and the customs and immigrations people having to take control, because then it looks like he's supporting law enforcement. And that is the worst thing that you can possibly do for a liberal, is support your law enforcement these days. What a horrible, terrible thing for the president to be seen supporting law enforcement and people who are trying to see that our laws are put into effect. And that's why he won't go.
Yeah, I mean, Thad, you talked about, too, the idea that putting forward, you know, some proposals, but also interacting with some of the people who are in those facilities, too, to figure out exactly how they got there.
Yeah, we're not being honest with these folks who are trying to come to the to America for a better life, Jordan. I mean, I agree with you. The first priority should be to show solidarity with Border Patrol, with law enforcement down there trying to enforce the laws that, by the way, the chief executive, Jordan, is the chief law enforcement officer. So they are doing the duty that is incumbent on him. But look, he should also talk to the migrants. He should also talk to the people who are coming there, because they think that he wants them coming. You heard the clip in some of the audio that you played, which said, tell Joe Biden we're coming. Well, now that they're here, maybe he should talk to some of them. Jordan, he's got to be able to look them in the eye and look the American people in the eye and put forward an honest proposal with, okay, if you want to come to America for a better life, here's how you'll do it. Here's the framework with you, that you do it. Jordan, we're a rule of law country. You do not do it, or at least you should not be able to do it, by cutting the line, the legal line, and illegally crossing the border, and then just hoping that Joe Biden's Border Patrol will either pick you up and then let you go, or you will evade them. Jordan, that is not the way to do it. So I would take a picture with law enforcement, sure. I would also talk to these migrants and look them in the eye and tell them what the process is by which they can try to enter this country.
Yeah, and all this flying around at 4 a.m., I mean, Senator Tom Cotton explains it very, very clearly, which is about, they're not proud of what they're doing. They're trying to hide it from you. Take a listen.
The obvious reason why they're flying these migrants across the country in the dead of night is because they don't want to reveal the consequences of their open borders policy. Look, if they were proud of their policy, if they thought it was a political winner for them, they'd be having these flights in the middle of the daytime. They'd be coordinating it with the local TV stations. They'd be celebrating what they view as a great accomplishment. But they know that Joe Biden's open border policy is a political disaster. So they're trying to hide the consequences of that policy in the dark of night.
The thing is, Harry, this is not a time period anymore where you can do that. You can track aviation. We have news outlets that are doing that. So they're figuring out what's going on, and they're showing those images to the American people. They see the crisis at the border. This is, again, as much as they try to keep the media out, the people have seen it. I think that the American people do understand that there's a serious problem there.
I think that's correct, but I also think that the Biden administration seriously underestimates the capacity of the American people to understand what is going on. I think the Biden administration, they live in a silo, an echo chamber, where they are being told via social media via Twitter how wonderful they are, even though their policy is an abject disaster. And so one of the things that the Biden administration has done, I think quite deliberately, is they try to hide the evidence of their own malfeasance. They try to hide the evidence of their own failures. But I think the American people are smarter than that. They understand that the Biden administration has consistently failed them on each and every issue, from inflation to gas prices to the crisis off the border of California to Afghanistan. Keep in mind, we still have Americans left in Afghanistan, even though President Biden said we would get them all out. And so I think at the end of the day, everyone knows that the Biden administration is either fibbing it or they are incompetent.
You know what, folks? There's obviously a lot more to say and more to do on the border issue. But, you know, whenever it is being highlighted and with these horrific numbers with 1.7 million more, most ever since it's been tracked. That we're gonna talk about it on the broadcast. We're gonna do something about it. We got our FOIA in court about their decision making process. How did they get to this point of just giving up on all the policies that were working? Were they gonna replace it with anything? So we're in court over that as well. So we're doing something about it. We got the petition up at ACLJ.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.